the head versus the stomach. The curtain goes up. A head and a stomach are on the stage. They are chained up to each other by an umbilical cord laying on the floor without grace between them. On the wall, a portrait of a young girl, or the head.
I discover great things at this time. Readings and discussions, lectures and meetings. I learn anarchism, feminism. I learn to understand about what happened each second of our daily lives, all of our conditioning, all of our participations to the system.
The stomach.
Me too, I discover so many things. This girl, there, her. I love her. And she likes us too. It's wonderful. It's new. Awesome.
Two simultaneously reciprocal attractions.
Yes, love.
How interesting. Sit here and tell me about that.
He takes out of his pocket a notebook and starts to write down.
So, I feel strange. A bit blue and a bit red. A bit tense. And a bit overjoyed. So fragile and very powerful.
But rather blue or rather red. Rather serene or rather anguished.
Sometimes like this, sometimes like that. The one and the other. Both in the same time.
What? Where? How?
Wait. So, last time, for example, when she spent 3 minutes with her chatting, it was tightening over there, in the stomach.
Here?
Yeah, well, no more her here.
It was tightening or twisting, gathering or laughing?
That was orange and turning. The knit was rising to the lungs. That was good. She was beautiful. She's beautiful, yes?
Beautiful, beautiful. But you know, beauty is a socially constructed concept and very relative. Me, I think that above all, R is very interesting. We had a very good quality conversation and she has brilliant ideas.
I think she's pretty and nice. I love her so much and she let me know that she also likes me, you know? I'm sure she loves us. We just have to become a couple.
A couple? But for what? There is no need to form a couple to spend good moments.
All our friends, when they love their girls, they become couples.
Yeah, but there is one thing that our friends didn't think about the couple, and that probably caused them heaps of problems without being able to express them clearly. It is what we call the emotional property. When you get in a couple, you decide for a kind of property. You own me, I own you, you don't have the right to fall in love with somebody else, you don't have the right to cheat on me.
That's true. We are together.
No, it's not true. Property is bad. Emotional property is the highest form of oppression. Everybody should be free to fall in love with several people at the same time. Everybody should be free to leave history with some people at any time. No couple, no social form should prevent that. Do you see?
No.
And if we want to change things, we must change our behaviors in our daily lives. If we think unfair the affective property, we must stop applying it. We must invent and try other emotional relationship forms. More free, you know? We must try non-exclusivity, for example. Besides, we have now a good opportunity to try a non-exclusive relationship. And R, to be honest, is the kind of person also interested in such principles. Let's hold this occasion. Let's try it. Let's see what happens, what it brings to us. Let's see if we, the young boy that you and me are part of, can. Let's see if we can do it. Let's see how you will live it, what you will feel. I think it's going to be a fascinating adventure, a real inner exploration. We will discover a bunch of things, and I'm sure about that. Love, as you say, it's pleasure, but it can also be a political and psychological experiment. Do you see?
No.
Let's offer R a non-exclusive relationship.
No, I don't agree.
It doesn't matter. Don't forget that I am the brain and that you are just the stomach. I decide.
Fascist, despot, forget tongue, dictator, sticky lunatic, reflective one.
Come on. No need to get nervous. Remember that I am the one who knows what is good for us at the end. You only see in the short term. You are incompetent. It's like that. Me, I calculate, I evaluate, I refine. So it's advantageous for you to give me your trust.
Act 1. Some weeks later. the head.
Stomach, there is something wrong. You are in love.
The stomach.
Yes.
You are too much in love. You are dependent on R.
Sure. All that I feel belongs to her. My happiness, my quietness, my difficulties, all belongs to her. It depends if she's here, soon here, or soon not here anymore. If she looks at me, if she speaks to me, if she touches me, if she thinks about me. If she's sweet or hard or indifferent to me. If she's depending upon on me or not. All my time is concentrated on her. Either I'm with her or thinking about her. I always think about her. I always think about her face, her smell, her tongue's taste. I await only one thing, is to see her, to have her. Nothing else is important. It's painful, but it's beautiful. That is love.
You are so dependent on her that you want to own her.
Yes, I want her all for myself. I want her all the time. I need her all the time. I ask her to be here all the time for me. But I'm afraid. I'm too afraid to lose her. I will die. I need her to be good. I want her.
No, no, no. You want to own her. But me, I don't want you to want that. R is also interested in a non-exclusive relationship, so we decide to create one with her. You don't have the right to own R.
But what do you want me to do? I'm in love. I cannot help that. If I want to own her, it's because I love her.
As I see it, R is your drug, and you are afraid of withdrawal. R has power over you, so you want to get power over her. You're dependent on her, so you would like to force her to be with us all the time.
Wait. I don't see where the problem. She loves us too. She fundamentally wants to own us. If we own her and she owns us, we are equal. There is no hierarchy.
So do you accept that she owns us?
Of course. If we own her, it's normal. It's fair.
Are you sure? What will you say the day you fall in love with another person? You will feel chained or guilty? Would it not be much easier to be independent? Would it not be better to respect and follow your own desires, the evolution of your own feelings, and do it quietly, without fear and without reproach?
Yeah.
Remember, stomach, remember the visceral disgust that has always aroused in you at the idea of being in prison in a relationship. Yeah, I see. It was grey green, heavy in the oesophagus.
Almost brownish.
Yeah, with a dark spot a bit to the right.
I want to be free.
Yes, but if you want R to respect your freedom, you must respect her freedom.
I don't understand you. You speak about distant things. Me, I speak about right now. And now I need her. I don't need to be freed for anything.
Listen to me carefully. We don't want a hierarchy between R and us. Do you agree with that? Yes, we neither want to run over R, neither her to smash you. Do you agree? A fair love in which each one of us is respected, in which each is benefiting. Do you agree? We agree. So to be equal, R should own us as much as we own her. Or that no one own each other. And between fair possession and fair freedom, I think the second choice is much more favorable. Basic, no? I'm free, you're free, it adds up.
Ah, you get my nerve. You get my nerves! You make mental calculation. This plus that, equal ni plus na. I don't care about your equation. Me, I love.
No, it's much easier, stomach. Love can't justify everything. He beat her up, he chased her. Oh, well, it's because he loved her. Oh, because he loved her, he killed her. He loved her too much. No, no, no. It's too easy to let your feelings control you just because they are romantic emotions. Love doesn't make oppression something poetic. Think, stomach. Think a bit. And quit that screaming now. Love has only one O. And when you are in love, only one I is enough. And on that I, only one point. That's all.
Hey, leave me alone.
You're not even listening to me. You're not even listening.
You get my nerve.
Not at all. It's easy as pie to pick up. Non-exclusivity is a bit like friendship. We call each other when we want to. We kiss each other when we feel the desire to. We don't burden ourselves with obligations, etc., etc. I want you to listen to me.
But in your non-exclusivity, there's a kind of gap in the love intensity, you know. The other one is not hooked to me. He's a bit distant, a bit away. Tenderness is limited.
Well, somehow, yes.
But I don't want it. I don't want any limits. I can't. I want the other one to be as passionate as I am.
You want to lock her up in a couple.
That's it. A couple.
No, it's bad.
What does it mean bad? I don't understand.
Well, let's use another way. Come on, tell me. Why do you wish so much for a couple in order to have her, always beside us, close to you? Am I right?
Yes, but not only. It helps me to calm my doubt. Before, I was worried about her, that she doesn't appreciate me, that she prefers others. Now we are together. It's clear. It's official. She is with us. So that's it. It's me that she prefers among others.
Us? That she prefers among others. It's us.
Yes, you, me, us, mu, ye, all, that's all. It's us. It's crazy. It's crazy, you know? It's me that she prefers.
In fact, the couple is something decreed. One day we say, that's it. We are in a relationship. From today on, you are my love. It's just like changing status.
Here, the statue of flowers reassured me. I have nothing to fear. We are together. Like, I don't necessarily need to convince, to seduce anymore. My anxiety is fully relaxed. The competition is over. I won her.
Yeah, you are looking for a kind of emotional security.
And a lover, it gives you plenty of security. It's like a base, a huge support. Its eyes are all waves turned towards you. Ears that drinks your words. Thoughts that can be released from you, even when you are not there. It's really super reassuring. It makes you feel confident. You are good, you are deserving. And the proof is that there is someone who is completely focused on you.
Oh my, you are dependent on her to trust you. But her, you know, will not be indefinitely focused on you.
If you are in couple, somehow, yes. When you are in couple, you have no more doubt. It's with your non-exclusivity that we are never sure. We never know if the other really loves us. We all the time remain in doubt. It's very tiring for long. In the couple, we are sure.
No, that's where you're wrong, Stomach. You're delusional. The couple will not destroy your doubts, you know. You know that feelings, those of our, like those of others, are fluctuating, elusive, out of control. It goes up, it falls, it goes bad. Sentimental fidelity is an illusion. It doesn't exist. How can we be so pretentious to imagine that one day the lover won't feel the desire to meet another? We can't alone fulfill one person. Remember, Stomach, your memory seems very short. Remind yourself how many times you have already seen your own feelings evolve. It's the same for her. You could give her all of the statutes of the world. You won't succeed in influencing what is happening to her. You will not be able to freeze her love. Who knows if X will seduce her one day, tomorrow maybe. The couple you would put in place could maybe prevent her from translating her love into action, but not from actually feeling it. Feelings can't be decreed.
I would like to decree her feelings. I would like to decree her presence.
Think well, Stomach. What you love in her, what makes you vibrate somehow, isn't it her freedom, authenticity, and predictability? Am I right?
Yes, radiant, fresh, yeah. Sparkling, true, beautiful, sincere, straightforward, surprising, cracking, crunchy. Yeah, she's all that.
You love her's inner freedom so much that you want to have it constantly near you. But if you lock her up, if you chain her, you will transform herself. You'll see her censored, upset, forced, remorseful. It will be sad. You will not love her anymore. You cannot feed yourself on the freedom of somebody else by imprisoning her. No, it doesn't work like that. Her freedom is going to die.
But so how to keep both her and her freedom all together?
By not trying to keep her.
Wait. Let's sum up. I want to keep both her presence, both her desire and her freedom at the same time. The couple doesn't work, so to be in permanent seduction stress me too much. There must be a solution. I need to make sure that her feelings won't change. I must be able to generate enough love in her to be always with me, to give her the envy spontaneously. Like, how do I do?
You would like to create a lasting desire for you in her, but you can't. You just can't. And even if you could, it would just be sad. You would have manipulated her. Accept that things don't belong to you. Just let it go. You will see how liberating it is.
But how do we do? How will I do if I learn that air is with somebody else and with us at the same time? I will be eaten by pain.
You will just accept it eventually. And that's what's interesting about it. It is to learn to respect the other, her freedom, and the evolution of her feelings.
No, I will not be able to. When I learn that she's cheating on us, it will mean she's not completely turned towards me. It will be too hard to accept.
You will learn to be more independent. You will learn to give yourself security and self-confidence. And you will also learn to solve your own ego problems. You will learn to solve them at the roots. There is no point in using a lover as a substitute to cure your own ego problems. It's fascist and vain. An excessive ego, thirsty, that's never quenched. Not even in a perfect love. There are always doubts. The problems of ego are internal and not external. They touch on issues of personal attitude, apprehension of the world. It is these internal questions that you will learn to solve.
What? I will be imagining her enjoying playing with another guy, all smiling, all laughing, all light, while I will be suffering like an ox from her absence. It in this shift that will be unfair, like I will be suffered too much because the other will not be there, and the other will not only be bothered, but will be pleased. It will be like suffering in the void.
At times, when R is far away, it would reassure you to know that she suffers as much as you from her mutual absence.
At times when R is far away, rather when she comes back, I prefer her to say that she suffered from her absence, even if it's not true.
You prefer illusion to reality. How can we build a relationship on illusions? And why? Lying to save inner comfort? What am I going to do with your stomach? I prefer trust to comfort. I prefer authenticity, openness, rather than these tender but opaque bubbles that we build to make the world easier. We must not make the world easier. We must understand it, leave it full tilt. We must not be like those, you know, people who hide the misery of their lives and yet continue to lead dull lives. You have to touch deep things. Deep pains are better than artificial and superficial satisfactions. How can we change anything? How can we progress in any way if we advance with lies? Deep pains moves us forward. It's better to work on your jealousy rather than shaping a falsely comfortable environment. And it's better to work at the root of evil.
But I'm the one seeing the pain, tyrant. I suffer and you don't even understand what it is. Despot, dictator, hemisphere, executioner.
Calm down, calm down. Try to understand what I am telling you.
Understand what I feel then. For example, when we will tell her that we want to see her and that she will say that crudely, that she doesn't want us, that she has someone else to go out with. I will suffer too much.
You will accept it, I'm telling you. We must come to live more in the present. Get out of this ubiquitous image of art. Succeed in focusing on what we live, even when it's not here, while keeping the huge satisfaction of seeing her when, by chance, she gives us a moment.
And how will I do, Head? How will I do when I see that her love goes down, that her passion passes?
I keep saying it. You will accept it. You'll understand that everything has an end, that you have to let it go. All things in life are moving and ephemeral. Her love for us will end one day, like our life. You must accept that things are unstable, fleeting, out of control. That's life. You have to accept the freedom of R. You must agree to lose her one day. And who knows, to find somebody else.
Old smug philosopher. With your stupid speeches, we will never come to anything. We give up the party from the kickoff. We must keep her. We must try. We must try everything at maximum to keep her. Can you imagine if we abandon right now and we realize after that what we could have won with some effort? Imagine, we will miss something huge.
But here's the complication. Trying by all means to find something to imprison the other, a measured behavior, a mask to wear, when this is just about imprisoning, you are capable of mathematics, apparently. Do you realize the efforts it needs?
I prefer this effort than the risk to lose her.
You just want to complicate your life.
But it's you who complicate my life. Hey, do you remember what our aunt said?
Yes, I remember.
She said that non-exclusivity, anyway, is very simple. It works only when we are not in love. She demonstrated by A plus B. She said, let's take, for example, two lovers. They do not need non-exclusivity because they don't even think of going somewhere else. They always want to be one with the other. It's useless to say that we can go somewhere else when we have no desire for it. So, then she said, let's take two people who don't really like each other. They are non-exclusive spontaneously because they like to go somewhere else and they don't care if the other does the same. So, it's that simple. Principles are not needed. It is the degrees of the feeling that decide by its own if the relationship will be exclusive or not. So, here we are. Do not complicate my life with her. If we share a big desire, we will form a fusional couple.
Yes, yes, but ephemeral.
If we share a small desire, we will form a non-exclusive relationship. Naturally, like the others.
And if we don't share the same desire, if you feel more love than she does, will you require from her all the time the form of fusional couple?
No, of course, it would not be nice. We should completely stop seeing her. Our aunt said, let's take a lover and another, not really in love. There, non-exclusivity is so painful that the love story hurries to finish.
Yeah, because there is one who can't support to see the other going somewhere else, and there is always one toward the other that the non-exclusive suits better, seeing the other one when wanted, going out with others when wanted, and the principle of non-exclusivity gives to that one all the rights. It's almost an ideological weapon to free ourselves from the other when we want, to not pay attention when the other is suffering.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
But that is at this point that you complicate your life. Why do you want at any price to interrupt the relationship in case the love of R is weaker than yours? If R accepts non-exclusivity, if she's ready to give you a little tenderness from time to time, why be masochist? Why refuse?
Because it's hard. It's hard to be stuck on someone, to wait for her, to be so small, to always be thinking of her and to yearn for her in her absence, to feel that the other is not deeply in love with me. No, my situation will be wobbly and uncomfortable. It will have to finish.
Is love a feeling that deserves such sacrifices, such grandiloquent abandonments? Are you not giving it a huge weight? Isn't it a paper tiger? Can't we just work on it? Just try modifying it.
But it's too strong, too big, too hard.
Just before, you said that it was beautiful. Then you admit it's not so anymore. After a while, you will not be able to bear the pain. You will be tired of being constantly focused on this goal. And that's the bottom line. You have to stop being addicted. Stop being dependent on love of another person.
Getting out of a relationship of dependency.
Yes, but not in any ways. You eventually think to free us from the one who makes you dependent. I want to free ourselves from the addiction itself. Let's keep our relationship with R, but let's free ourselves from an addiction that is just a problem in substance and which will manifest itself again and again in the next relationship with somebody else, whoever that may be.
Act 2. Several weeks later, the stomach.
It's gone.
The head.
She didn't have to leave. We were non-exclusive. Nobody stopped her from going.
But no, she will not come back anymore. She doesn't want us anymore. Exclusively or not, she doesn't care. She left.
But we have to accept it. She is free.
Ah, I'm in pain. I have pain. Pain.
Hey, stop making a scene. Stop making a scene.
But she said we were too complicated.
But you loved her too much.
She said you were too far from me.
No, she meant you were too far away from me.
Ah.
Oh. Stop your whimsing. You can't hurt me.
It hurts.
You let yourself be hurt. You can't choose. You can't choose not to be hurt. You are not hurt.
It hurts too much.
No. You are not hurt.
But it hurts. No, it hurts too much. It hurts. Listen to me, shit. Listen to me. Listen how it hurts.
No. Stop feeling pain. Stop.
But I can't. I can. Tell me how to do it.
Just calm down. Think about other things, or rather, understand why you are in pain.
But I feel bad because she is not longer here.
Wait. Understand better. Go further. Think about Freud, the unconscious, and the childhood, and Oedipus, and abandonment, and...
But she's gone!
Come on, stay calm. How do you want me to focus if you scream like that? So I was saying Freud, or rather Reich.
Listen here. I'm in pain. I have pain there, and... Here, and so there, right to left, up and down, in lines and in spikes, black and white. It twists and it turns, it screams and it speaks, it hurts everywhere, from everywhere. I have ultra trouble. I'm feeling so bad.
Damn, you really must be hurt.
Yes.
Calm down. Don't forget that. Only one vowel is enough. Hey, you're scaring me. Why are you so badly in pain? That's crazy.
Because she left.
Okay, that I know. I got it the first time, but how can you get so bad? Mm. It looks like I completely failed in my task of rehabilitation. I was sure I worked well on feeling in love and possessiveness and dependence. I thought you had become less dependent, that non-exclusivity, step by step, started to come in, and
but
I thought...
You think like crazy. You never listen to me.
No, that's wrong. I always ask you where and how you had fun and pain, and... However, you're surprising me. I don't understand. You have a lot of pain. Stop. You really hurt a lot.
Yeah!
And I don't even know how to heal you. And I can tell you many correct things. It doesn't even change anything. You're still hurting so much. Come on, stomach. Come on. Why are you running away from me? You are my creator, stomach. Never forget it. It's me. It's me who trained you. When we were little, it was me who taught you emotions. Despite myself, it was through me that the social norms passed and those that now make you suffer. I taught them to you. Remember, it was I who taught you that romantic idiocy of the charming princess. Even despite myself, it's me who rocked you with mashy songs. Oh, I love you forever. You love her and no one else. Oh, I was too young to stop myself. The whole society modeled you through me. Your emotions are not natural. Your emotions, they are cultural.
No!
How can it be that we end up absorbing culture into our very guts? Until the depth of our most atrocious pains. How does this even work? That's too unfair. Why am I unable to model you now as I did in our childhood? I would like to demodel you, to free you from absurd and useless cultural sufferings.
But cultural again? What are you saying? That my suffering is cultural? is too strong to be cultural.
That's what's crazy about it.
My suffering is not cultural. Everyone is suffering.
Everyone suffers, but not for the same reasons. It's the culture that chooses what will cause the pain. After, when you suffer, you suffer. Okay, but what makes you suffer?
Her absence. The end of my story. The end.
Do you understand what I mean? Any end, any change has good and bad sides. Our culture gives way to one or the other. For example, a person who loses their job, if their culture taught them that work was the only way for their life to make sense, they will suffer to death, of course. But if they have freed themselves from the culture of work, they will be able to see unemployment very favorably. Do you see?
No.
Yes, you see, there are some who suffer when one of their relatives announces to them that he or she is homosexual. There are some who really suffer when they are told that their favorite football team has lost the finals. There are some who believe so much in witchcraft that from the moment they are told that they are bewitched, they die in 3 days. You believe so much in the charming princess, in the horror of finding yourself non-possessor and non-possessed. You believe so much in the couple as a vector of solidity and security, recognition, that when we announce to you that we become single, you just collapse. Whereas at the end, our life is not going to change so much. I think you will realize it in a few weeks. You will tell yourself, but it's crazy, why did I suffer so much? You will not recognize yourself when you remember this moment, and you will no longer understand the point of suffering so much.
I don't know.
But what really matters in life? A football team? A degree? A job? A lover? You know, all of this is just relative. There are things that matter to you in the past, and now don't do anything to you anymore.
I don't understand nothing. You don't speak my language. Explain to me why she left.
She said she found us too complicated.
She said you were too complicated. That you wanted so much to be non-exclusive and non-oppressive that you finally weren't there at all. That you were so afraid of oppressing her, you didn't touch her anymore.
She said that.
She said you were too careful to respect her. That you was exaggerating. That she was able to defend herself, but you even took away this possibility. That you were preoccupied with her well-being before she expressed the need for it. That she said also it was hyper-paternalistic.
I'm sure she wanted to say something else.
Mm-hmm. She said you gauged me, that you hide me, that you did violence to me, that you have only theory in the eyes. That you don't let me express a gram of love.
But I was afraid that this love oppressed her.
No, she didn't feel anything. Huh. Only your fear. Only your calculation, your complication. She said that we were hyper-cerebral person. Did you hear that? You take up too much space. You don't let me get up word in the edge way.
Yes, it seems that we reason too much. Why do I even think? Because I try to understand what happens to us. I try to be aware and to evolve. I have difficulties to understand her criticism now about rezoning. I thought that she was convinced, as I am, about the need to work on ourselves, even before any militant work.
But you know what she doesn't like? She doesn't support icy people with everything in the head and nothing in the heart.
But I loved her too much to let you spread your love for her.
And no, it would be never be spread anymore. You loved her too much to let me love her. And that tired her out. Your love could be expressed just it. This intellectual love, this morality, this ethics. Mine, you don't care. You don't like it.
I was teaching you. I'm not against a stomach of love. Well, I think. I just have the impression that it could be more subtle. I thought that I was transforming it.
You don't like me as I am. You think I'm too big.
Not big, let's say heavy.
Well, you should transform me faster. She got tired of your experiments. She was tired of waiting. She left.
No. It is unfair.
It's too unfair.
I thought I had done well.
But you always think about doing well. You always think well. You always think about singing. Always principle, morals, like the Catholics. You are just Catholic. That is what I call. You're
anarchism.
Yes. What is this? A Catholic sect? Confess. As a Catholic, all that comes from the stomach is bad. It must be repressed. Always the seven deadly sins. Power, egoism, sexism, ageism, greed, security, exclusivity, and so on. You want us to be an angel? Sweet, all perfect? You want us to find monastery? You want my death?
No. That, no and no. I don't allow you. And even I forbid you. Me, Catholic? No. Okay, it's true that I have principles, but I also have the principle to not oppress your stomach, you and your feelings.
So?
It's just that it's difficult, okay? A whole balance to find. And on one side, to listen to you, on the other, and trying to also change you.
Hey, head, tell me, do you love me?
Oh, you bother me with your loves.
But love me! Love me! Looks like I'm the plague. You don't trust me. You judge me nonstop. You're scared of me. You don't even speak to me. You don't even speak to me.
I've been speaking to you for many pages now.
Never a sweet word. Only morals, reproach, contempt. You hate me. And you even don't let her to love me.
Oh, what a sin.
You speak to me as our father spoke to us.
I love you, but I want to change you.
Love me first. Otherwise, you will not be able to change me.
Okay, I may be Catholic, but you're trying to make a kind of mystical conclusion, which doesn't even sound better, and I am getting hurt.
Hey, wrong?
Yes, all of this. This is very complex. I'm just tired. It turns. I tackled a difficult problem, such a difficult problem. I would like to politicize our romantic relationship. I see it now. Except that politicizing, this is my domain par excellence. And our love relationships, well, that is yours par excellence. It's not like I wanted to politicize our readings, our language, our conception.
Hey, I'm everywhere. In our readings, our language, our conception.
Yes, but I don't know. Less than in our relationships, I believe. Now, I really feel like a frontal conflict between you and me. It's really complex, kind of a dead end, the kind of thing that hurt me. But you may be right. I could have seen that I imposed to you too many things at once. I think I was too demanding. I could have found maybe softer, more progressive solutions.
Being a bit sweet with me.
Yeah, being a bit sweet with you. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I feel that we are so bourgeois and that we don't demand enough efforts of ourselves.
Hey, don't listen to the pious hood.
Should we muzzle our encourage inclinations? Maybe after all, it just reinforces them by making them monsters, giving them great power. Maybe it's better to find the way to know them, to tame them, and like that, to make them slowly evolve.
Yes, that's it. I'm not against your experiments. I want to change. But you must consider me as an ally, not as an enemy.
For example, I could, maybe without demanding of her to be faithful, I could have asked her to not tell us her infidelities. Maybe to not tell us about it, to not do it in front of our eyes. That is what I should have done, at least this time, at this stage of our deconstruction. On one hand, I would have agreed with my ideas, and on the other, I would have spared you.
Yes, you would have respected me. Listen to me. At least taken me into consideration.
It's true that I asked you everything at the same time. It's true that I was too demanding with you. I treated you as if you suddenly could be ready for everything. Like the Catholics, you're right, like the Catholics who are aiming for the moon but who don't lead to any purity. Just to big frustrations. You are not a superman or a super stomach. You are not yet able to keep your eyes on a continual wound.
At least not immediately at once, but step by step. if you get me used to.
If I get you used to not seeing anymore in jury.
That's it. But slowly, gently. You must understand me.
To understand you. And in the three meaning of the term. First, understanding your words, listening enough to understand their meanings. Second, understanding your feelings to sympathize. And third, understanding you in our sphere, in our body, in our journey, instead of rejecting you or banishing you like a lousy one.
Okay, but wait a minute. You shouldn't not start to speaking for me.
Hey, this is my way of understanding you. I reformulate you to be sure of having understood correctly.
Except that you don't only reformulate. You add a lot of very learned notion that I don't really know if it is what I mean.
Well, this is my way of participating in the process.
Okay, well, if we decide to love each other, we should not love each other in whatever ways, yes? Like, because I know you well. You like to love in your own way.
The deconstruction, a permanent round trip between you and me, a dynamic to find between you and me, a sharpness, a tension, a sweetness. This is a moral history that I much more prefer.
That's it. It's a nice morality, full of hope.
He has flowers in his eyes.
To move forward together. I'm not against it. Hey, head, we could be mates.
Hey, watch out. It doesn't mean that I make concessions on my theories, huh?
Come on, your theory will remain the same. Your goals will remain radical. It's just that in the ways to reach them, you will not trample me. You will give me a hand instead of kicking my ass.
I will be more realistic too. I won't go far if I ask of you too much, too fast.
Okay, we could be friends.
The stomach sends a trip, you hugging the head.
So if we didn't understood because we didn't announce the characters, it was a discussion between the head and the stomach from the same body.
Perfect. Do you have something more to say? I think you say I enjoy, of course, and nothing.
Just to say from where it comes, we took it from a small brochure in French. That name is Contre l'amour. That for me, I think it's a very bad title. It means against love. But it's not this. It's more about a non-exclusive relationship, about all the consequences of couples, about jealousy and everything.
You can find it on the internet.
Yes, yeah. On the website infokiosk.net.
Okay, and from now on, you can hear and download it from Radio Zones of Subversive expression, because from the next day I think we will have it in our recorded stuff. Okay.
Nice.
It was very theatrical, the situation. I think that you can do it in the like a DIY theater. Okay. It will be great. I will be the first person I will come. And thank you very much for it was a great performance. I think it was a performance.
And also I want to thank the guy, okay, because it's a French text that at first I translated to English with my very wonderful English. So it needs to be
a little bit touched up, a little bit.
It needed to be checked by English speakers that I thank now, that I slave him for to ask him to make it very fast. But because he's here in Greece for a very long time, he don't speak anymore so much good English. And so it needed to be checked again by the head that he's was just reading just here. And so that's it. There's probably more mistake, but I think it's cute and it's just a DIY stuff and that's it.
I think you can say to us one more time about where we can find the brochure.
Yes,
the site.
The website. Yeah, okay, everything is in French. It's infokiosk.net.
Nice. Now we're gonna hear the song of the you prefer.
Oh, just okay. A song that yes have links with this.
Okay.
say you goodbye in music. Cari nichta.
I love you! Woo!
To be wanted, but you're drowning me deep in your